The movie E.T., if you did not see it, is the story of a little creature who is left behind when his spaceship touches down on planet Earth. And here he is befriended by a little boy named Elliot. And they go through a whole series of adventures together until finally the spaceship returns and rescues E.T., which means extraterrestrial. Although the movie maker has never claimed to have intentionally embedded the gospel into this movie, nevertheless, it is there all the way through. First of all, the extraterrestrial coming to our planet is a perfect symbol of the incarnation. And moreover, this little extraterrestrial has an adventure here that does parallel the entire gospel story of Jesus. First, he makes a few disciples who love him and follow him. Most of the people do line up then, however, against him. And they become his enemy, especially the scientists who simply want to dissect him and study him. And he does perform miracles. He brings a plant back to life. He heals the sick through the power of his touch. And he does evoke some kind of love wherever he goes. But finally, this relentless pursuit of the enemy leads to his death, the crucifixion, as it were. But then he comes back to life, the resurrection. And then, at the end, the spaceship touches down here on Earth and carries him off. With little Elliot looking up into the air, we have a symbolically wonderful picture of the ascension, because before leaving the Earth, one of the last things that little E.T. says is, "I will always be with you," taken right from Matthew 28. Now, those of you who did see the film know that the entire story centers around E.T.'s homesickness. All we need do really is think for just a moment of what it would be like to be a little creature here on Earth, millions of miles away from home, here among all of us strange, huge earth creatures. Think of what it would be like not being able to communicate with them, wondering if they were really friendly. And then, of course, in a short time, discovering their extreme hostility. Think of the longing we would have to be in touch with home. Think of the longing to be safe at home. That's why we people are all able to identify with that little creature's homesickness. Now, as the film progresses, little E.T. begins to collect all sorts of electronic equipment. The children, who are his friends, cannot understand what he does intend to do with it, but E.T. has been able to watch enough television with them, and he has listened to the children talk among themselves, so that he, too, has picked up enough words to be able to communicate a little bit. And then, in a moving scene that has made grown men cry, little E.T. manages to eke out the words, "E.T., phone home. E.T., now phone home." There's something in all of us that identifies with that heartbreaking homesickness that he shows. Audiences all over the land over these years and on television have been reduced to tears as they become caught up in that little creature's deep longing for his home. It means that as we watch the film, and if we're open to the story, that movie is able to evoke within us some kind of glorious and even sweeping newfound gratitude for our brother Jesus, Because when he came as our brother, he made this planet Earth his home. In the Gospels, however, we do not find that our brother Jesus longs to phone home, nor does he long to go home. Instead, the Apostle John says in the Gospel, he came and he dwelt among us. He came to his own home here. It means that the love that Jesus has for us is so great that he did not come as a stranger who would be ready to leave us at the earliest opportunity. Rather, Jesus decided to identify with us in our human loneliness. He identified with us, with our human restlessness, and in our human brokenness. He became one of us. So in spite of the fact that the movie is so very captivating, one does get this empty feeling about the atmosphere in which the story of the movie unfolds. First of all, E.T. comes into a typical middle-class American home. The father is off having an affair, and so the working mother is alone at home trying to keep the family together. The television happens to be going all of the time. There is junk food all over the kitchen and dining room. And after watching the film for a while, this feeling of emptiness of the culture is there. And it is then that the beautiful gospel paradox begins to take on a fresh meaning for us. The paradox that Jesus Christ, who came to dwell here among us as one of us, also came to tell us that this planet is not really our home after all, neither his home nor our home. Jesus came to tell us that home is not this world, and that home is not the next world either. That our home is not another world somewhere. But our brother Jesus came to tell us that our true home is not a place. It is not a place. It is a relationship. Jesus, our brother, came to tell us that your home and my home is in the Spirit of God. As St. Augustine discovered so beautifully and poetically, we have been created with a restlessness that we will never be able to quiet down until we all find our rest in God. The main problem with all of us here today is that we are all homesick. Some of you recognize it more deeply than others. Some may even fail to recognize it at all. Others of you perhaps refuse to acknowledge the fact. But the restlessness is there in the hearts of every one of us, and that restlessness will never quiet down until we discover that our true home is in God. That God, in self-communication, goes on haunting every human heart. And there, in our heart, he is at work, the one to whom we eventually say yes or no. And so that is why it is not without reason that the most memorable of all the story parables that Jesus told is the parable of the homecoming, when the prodigal son, who has run away from home, returns home to the father, and the father welcomes him with open arms, and then there's rejoicing. We all need to identify with that homecoming experience. We need to discover coming home to our God if we really do wish to share in his eternal life. Now that understanding is at the heart of the matter. Eternal life today, because of misbegotten understandings, for too many people still has only a future reference for most of us. But when Jesus tells us about eternal life, he's speaking about quality of life now. We have eternal life now. He's not talking about a dimension of life that happens some other time. John in the Gospel says it so well. Eternal life is this: to know you now, the only true God, and to know him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. John chapter 17. Eternal life is now. It is a now relationship. The same God we meet after our physical death is the same God dwelling within our heart now. Eternal life now is to experience the presence, the loving presence of God now with our whole being, body, soul, mind, will, and emotions. How blessed are the poor in spirit. The reign of God is theirs now. That's what Jesus told us today in the gospel. To be poor in spirit, in this beautiful biblical sense, is to acknowledge our total dependence on the living God for the wholeness of life that we are looking for. To acknowledge that apart from God, we are powerless to become the kind of person that God created us to be. To acknowledge that we will never be able to quiet down this restlessness in our heart for something better in life. It is only finding rest when we discover the Spirit of God dwelling in our heart now. Blessed are they who show mercy. Mercy will be theirs now. Blessed the peacemakers. They shall be called the daughters and sons of God now. This means that our wholeness, our fulfillment, our holiness, our wholeness as human persons will depend absolutely on coming home to our God and to one another in whom we find God. And it is only in and through that living experience of God's loving presence that we become present to one another in love, for the love of God and the love of neighbor are inseparable. The God who loves you and wants you for his own is waiting for you to come home deep within the core of your own heart now. All you need do is depend upon him to show you the way. Guidance will be given to you, and then you will experience the love of God closing in on you from within, not from far away. And then you will understand the gospel. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall know mercy and show mercy. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for then they shall find peace and they shall make peace. Thank you.